Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. Shalom Aleichem, Assalamu Aleichem, Namaste, Pak Sat Nam, Sat Sri Akal, Tashi Dalek, Ho Lila Tanya Wasu Yanke. Hello, may everything be well with you, as it is with me. Welcome to this meeting of Beit HaMidrash, the House of Study. We are teaching this class in Sabbatean Kabbalah, and which is a form of post-Laurianic Kabbalah, which is Zoharic, centered, and based. Now, if those terms have no meaning for you, that's all right. They will if you continue to attend this class. And we have been specifically teaching about Torah in the last few days, about a week's worth of teachings. And we will continue on that today. We're getting close to wrapping it up, though. First, as I do before the start of each class, I will recite the Kaddish for the mourners of the dead. So I ask you now to please close your eyes as you listen and remember someone, bring them into your memory, someone to whom you are close who has died. In doing this, you will honor that person's life and bless his or her memory with the light of your consciousness. Yishkadal v'yishkadash mei rabo bomo divro kirase ve'yam Veyamlik Malkase, Bekayakon Uvio Makon, Uvkayedokol Beis Yisrael, Ba'agalo Uvizmam Karyev, Veimru Omein. Yehe Shme Rabo Mevorak, Leolam Ulome Omayo. Yisparak Veyistabak, Veyisparar Veyisromam, Veyisnase Veyishadar Veyisala Veyishalel, Shme Dukacho Beraku. Leilo minkol berkoso vishoroso tush bekoso venekamoso da amiron baomo veimru omen. Yehe shlomo rabo min shamayo vekayim aleinu vealko yisrael veimru omen. O say shalom bimramov hu yashe shalom aleinu vealko yisrael veimru omen. Thank you very much. Excuse me. Now, we've been talking about Torah, and in the last few days, specifically, what is the Torah? And we've said that in the last couple days, since yesterday, we've been talking about Torah having the attribute of divine being. Just Torah being divine speech, meaning that every sentence, word, and letter are infinitely significant, that nothing that man can say can begin to exhaust its meaning. And why is that? Because man is not divine. Man's comprehension is not infinite. His speech is rather limited. In fact, what is it in the English language? There's something like, I'm not going to get this right, but it's something like 30 or even maybe 60,000 words. Well, you can take any of the languages on earth of human speech, and you can take the one that has the most number of words, which one would say then that would be the one most capable of expressing thoughts, ideas, beliefs, and feelings and experiences. But if the most that you're going to get, let's just take an arbitrary number, is 100,000 words, then you have a limited vocabulary with which you can express the wide, in fact, indeed, infinite range of experiences that the human is capable of. But beyond all of this, those experiences are limited by the fact that the human being is not divine, is not a divine creature, as is God. God is infinite and eternal. Mankind is limited in time and scope, and therefore is mortal. It is limited in every way. And so that vocabulary is limited, whereas God's vocabulary is unlimited. And we have been teaching that the Torah is divine speech. It's literally divine speech. It's made up of letters that were given to us by God. This is the Hebrew Aleph Bet, 22 letters, not counting the finals, which are the same letters but have a different form when they come at the end of a word. And I think there's five or six, let me see, just get this detail here. There's a Kuf, Mem, Nun, Peh, and Sadi final. So that's how many. There's one, two, three, four, five. Five final forms of those letters. But there's only 22 different letters in Hebrew. Aleph, Bet. With those letters, that makes up divine speech. Why do we call it divine? Because it came from God. God, it's the first known alphabet in the world. There's no earlier alphabet. Cuneiform is not an alphabet. It is a hieroglyphic or symbolic form of writing. It just uses symbols to express concepts. One could say the same thing about Chinese characters. It's a pictographic form of writing. At any rate, there is no earlier form of alphabet than Hebrew. And it's now in its third iteration, by the way, from its first form, which was the divine form. Okay, now having said that, we have been teaching yesterday that Torah is divine speech. And we talked yesterday about how many different Torahs are there. We said there's a Torah to Atzilut, a Torah to Berea, a Torah Shebiktav, that's written Torah, a Torah Shebal Peh, oral Torah, and a Torah Kaduma, primordial Torah. That's the Torah which served as the divine architect's blueprints for creation. We also said that Torah is revealed in a different form in each of the stages of the creation of the world, in the different phases or universes or realms. So there's a different Torah, a different version. Let's put it this way. It's the same Torah. There's only one Torah that God has given us. But that Torah takes on different forms according to the needs and requirements of each stage of creation. And we know that there's four stages of creation in the Tree of Life, Etz Chaim. There's Torah de Atzilut, the world of emanation or closeness. There's a Torah for the realm or universe of Berea. And we call this Torah de Berea. This is a Torah that's necessary to bring into existence and control and maintain and keep everything in order, working order, in the world of creation. There's Torah de Yetzira. This is the world of formation, the world of forms. And there's a Torah de Asiya that is made for the world of action. That's the spiritual world just above this world that we are in. And most Kabbalists include us as being in the very lowest echelons of the world of Asiya, the universe of Asiya, the world of forms and names, where all of creation crystallizes or is precipitated or manifest, so to speak. Okay, so we talked about that, and we talked about how the fact that the sages teach us that the Torah has 70 faces. That means that there's one version of the Torah for each of the 70 elders of Israel that accompanied Moses up onto Sinai at the command of Yahweh in Exodus 20, chapter 24, verse 1, and spoken of a little bit more in chapter 24, verses 9 to 11. It's the Torah that was handed down, the spiritual Torah that was handed down in 70 forms. However, it never got to those elders because of the sin of the golden calf. It never got handed down to any of the Israelites. Moses alone knew that Torah. Because of the sin of the golden calf, it was taken back. And then Moses went back up on the mountain and the Torah was given again. This was the Torah of remaking. The covenant was, God forgave the Israelites for the sin of the golden calf and reaffirmed the Torah and gave us a Torah that was not spiritual in nature, but was largely physical in nature, designed to tame the passions of the body, designed to keep people on the right track in this world of Maya, this world of illusion. Okay, so we talked about that. And then I left you with the statement that the sages teach us that the Torah was proclaimed in five voices. So not only does it have 70 different forms, not only are there many Torahs, and it, not only does it have 70 different forms, but it was each one of those forms was proclaimed in five different voices. Now, where do I get this? I get this from the Zohar, the chief canonical text for Kabbalah. Zohar was first redacted in its entirety by Rabbi Shimon, Ben Yochai, a great first century rabbi who survived for 14 years in a cave with his son in Palestine, survived, I say, because this was at the height of the Roman oppression. And it is taught that he was fed in the cave. He and his son were fed in the cave by the same crow that was released by Noah from the ark that flew away and did not return, causing Noah to have to then later send out a dove. Okay. It then was lost, carried on orally, passed along from teacher to student, but it was redacted. What I mean by redacted, it was collected and compiled and edited, so to speak, put into writing again in around 1295 in Castile, in Spain, by Rabbi Moshe de Leon. Okay, and so it then spread through the rest of Spain into Italy and elsewhere in the Jewish world, and became as recognized as a part of the canon of the Jewish Bible, became as high in terms of respect accorded to it by teachers and students and individual Jews and especially by Kabbalists as the Talmud. In fact, I would venture to say it became more highly regarded and more highly authoritative for mystics, Jewish mystics and Kabbalists, than the Talmud did. The Talmud being more an explanation and discussion of halakha or law. Okay, so I said yesterday, or not yesterday, our last class on Tuesday, that the Torah was proclaimed in five voices. And where did I get this? I just said that I got it from Zohar, the Zohar. That means the Book of Splendor. From section 2, page 90b of the Sansino translation, and I'm going to read this short, very short passage here, three lines, and then I'm going to discuss that somewhat in length. That'll be a topic for today's class. Reading from the Zohar, quote, therefore, quote, from his right hand went a fiery law to them, end quote. Okay, this is the Zohar quoting from Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, okay, which says, from his right hand went a fiery law to them. Okay, now remember, law is the word for law, or the word Torah in Hebrew means law or instruction. So here we have something that's getting ready to talk about the Torah. So it says, therefore, from his right hand went a fiery law to them, and this is Zohar now, circle of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is getting ready to explain and teach on this passage from Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. From his right hand went a fiery law to them. For all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. And the words right hand have their first letters capitalized. So there's significance there. For all was included in the five fingers of the right hand being capitalized. Therefore also was the Torah proclaimed in five voices, corresponding to the five books of Torah. Now you find out the source of what I told you in our last class. Therefore also was the Torah proclaimed in five voices, corresponding to the five books of the Torah. Okay, we're going to discuss this now at some length. What this is telling us is that each of the five books of Moses, referred to here as the five books of Torah, expresses the divine Torah, a single Torah, in a different voice. That means, from a different spiritual perspective. Five books of the Torah, their first five books, the Pentateuch in Greek, are referred to by Jews as the five-fifths of the law, because there's five books there. So each one is a one-fifth of the law, and the five-fifths make up the whole of the law, of the written Torah. And it says that they are derived from the five fingers of the right hand. Now that's a curious phrase. What is this right hand, and what is the five fingers of the right hand? Okay. Right hand is capitalized, as I said, the first letter of each word. There's a capital R and a capital H. This is clearly a reference to the right hand of God, which we've all heard that phrase at some time in our lives. We've heard of the right hand of God. Job, when he's being persecuted by God, when he's being tested, when he's being afflicted, says at one point, and this is just a wonderful thing for him to say, he says, when his wife says to him, at some point she says, why don't you just curse God and die? And he says, what? Should I praise God for that which he gives me from his right hand and not also from that which he gives me from his left? So here's this phrase, the right hand of God. So it's a reference to God's right hand. Well, God doesn't have a physical body, so obviously this is an anthropomorphism, and which is very common throughout the Bible. It's throughout all religion. Anthropomorphism for the attributing of human attributes to God is common. And it should be, because we're told in Genesis that God made us in his form and likeness, in his image and likeness. So we can assume, just from that, without more without anything contradicting that, we can assume that God has an image and likeness. And in fact, we do know that's true because we are told in another book of Oral Torah, Tomer Devorah, in the very first verse of the first chapter, this is a book of Oral Torah. It was redacted by Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, who's in the 16th century, was one of the teachers of probably the greatest Kabbalist of all time, the Arizal, Isaac Luria, in a book called Tomer Devorah, Palm Tree of Deborah. It's an ethical treatise on how we should strive to imitate God, the imitation of God, imitatio Dei, as the Catholics, Christians called it, and what is it that we imitate? The supernal form and body of God, which is what? The Ten Sephirot is the supernal form and image of God. That's what we're told in Tomer Devorah. Okay, so the right hand of God is a reference to the right hand of the diagram of the Ten Sephirot. Now, each one of you, I want right now to get out your diagram of the Ten Sephirot. This is also known as the Etz Chaim, the Tree of Life. But it's the one that has the circles and the lines, the ten circles and the lines. Each one of those circles is a sephira, an attribute of God. It's much more than that, but we'll go with that for right now. Okay, so the five fingers of the right hand. Now, what's the right hand? The right hand is the right-hand column. When you're looking at it on paper, you can divide it up into three vertical columns of sephirot, or circles. There's a right one, a middle one, and a left one. So here, the right hand of God in this passage from the Zohar is a reference to the Sephirot in the right hand column. Okay, these and the five fingers relate to the right hand consists of. Of the right hand consists of the Sephirot starting from the top, going to the bottom, Keter, which I know is in the center, but everything derives from there. No energy, no sustenance comes from anywhere except from Keter. So it's included in all three columns. Okay, so you have Keter, which then leads to Chokhma, and you can follow the path down. So if you follow this path, you're looking at Chokhma, Chesed, Netzach, and Yesod. Okay, so it comes back over to the center, which then leads back into this world of Asiya, which is Malkut. Now, these Sephirot contain the root of the functions. This is why I included Yesod and I included Keter. Keter is the source. Yesod is the transmission device that the phallus that transmits the seed, if you want to use that anthropomorphism, into the Shekinah, which is female, and impregnates her, and from which the world comes and is sustained. Okay, or you can think of it in terms of Shekinah's breast nurturing the world, which suckles at her breast. Okay, these are all anthropomorphisms, but you have a channel that runs from Keter to Chokhma, to Chesed, to Netzach, to Yesod, and then into the world, Shekinah or Malkut. Okay, those channels now. That's the right hand of God, the right hand side, and even more specifically, you can just count the three and say that's the right hand side of God, and the three that are on the left are the left hand side of God. But for purposes of talking about the five fingers of the right hand of God, we're looking at a little more detail here, meaning the five paths or channels that connect the Sephirot of the right-hand side. Okay? So the Sephirot of the right-hand side are those three on the right, in the middle, on the right there, which are Chokhmah, Chesed, and Netzach. Okay? But they're not all by themselves. They have to be connected to the source, which is Keter, or they would cease to exist and function. And they have to be connected to the world. Else, the world would not receive their attributes, their functionality, the forces that arise in them and pass through them in those channels. Okay, so the five fingers of the right hand being Chokhmah, Chesed, Netzach, the five fingers are the five paths or channels that connect the Sefirot on the right-hand side. What are those paths? If you'll notice on the diagram, if you've gotten it off of our website, each one of those is assigned a letter. Okay, starting from between Keter and Chokhmah, we have He. From Chokhmah to Chesed, we have Beit. From Chesed to Netzach, Kaf. From Netzach to Yesod, Nun. From Isad to Malkut, it's Tav. So we have five letters. He, Bet, Chaf, Nun, and Tav. They're unique. They don't appear anywhere else. They're associated with the right-hand side. Tav, however, is associated with the center column and the left-hand column. And you can see that. That's the transmission path. That's the phallus. All right, of the supernal body. That's the path through which all influences are passed on to the female, to Shekinah. Okay? But that's where we get this phrase here, where it says, therefore also was the Torah proclaimed in five voices. Okay, for all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. Okay, you can view the Sefirot now here. Here you can view the Sefirot as being thought or will, intention. They're the source of all functionality in the supernal body and in the world, in the universe. Because this diagram of the Godhead, this whole thing we can say is the Godhead, the supernal form and body of God, it's also the form which is reproduced all through the universe. It underlies everything microscopically. And if you could expand our view of everything beyond the view that we see of our own, that we can see with our own eyes, to say the view of the Earth from a satellite in orbit, to a view of a spacecraft at the edge of our solar system looking back at the sun, expanded even from there to the edge of our galaxy, and expanded even from there, if we could see the entire universe, what we would see would be a form that is this form of the Ten Sefirot. It's the form of God. Okay? It's like a crystal that reproduces itself as it adds each layer of molecules. It continues to keep the same form and shape. Other people have described it as like a hologram or holograph. Okay, now, we've established here that the Torah, in this teaching here, was proclaimed in five voices that correspond to the five fingers of the right hand of God, that correspond to the five books of the Torah, that correspond to the five channels between that come from Keter to Malkut, down the right-hand side of the Godhead. Okay, now having said that, I'm going to now contradict that, and I'm going to say, but the Torah does not come solely, alone, from the right hand, the five fingers of the right hand, or the five voices alone. We just got done teaching that, but now I'm going to contradict that and say that, yes, that's true, but it's not solely or alone that we derive our Torah. And where do I get that? I get that in the same teaching, the same passage. From his right hand went a fiery law to them. That's quoting Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 2. From his right hand went a fiery law to them, for all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. Okay? So let's look first at this passage from Deuteronomy. From his right hand went a fiery law to them. Why does it say fiery law? Law implies Torah. Fiery Torah. Fire is associated in the diagram of the Ten Sefirot with the left-hand side. Specifically, it's associated with Sefirah Gevurah, meaning power or strength. And another name, in fact, for the Sefirah Gevurah is Din, meaning strict judgment, wrath. Now, if Torah proceeded only from the five fingers of the right-hand side, it wouldn't say from his right hand went a fiery law to them, because the fire is associated with the left side. It would say from his left hand went a fiery law to them. But then it knows that we're thinking that, so it says, it gives us a reason why it doesn't say that. It says, for all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. The right-hand side is associated with water, okay? Fire associated with the left-hand side of God, water associated with the right-hand side of God, specifically with Sefirah Chesed, meaning loving kindness or mercy. But it doesn't say that a merciful law or a law filled with loving kindness or a loving law went to them. It says a fiery law went to them. Well, this is all to let us know, as it says here, for all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. What does that mean? It means that the left-hand side of the Godhead, representing evil and death, was preceded by and came forth from the right-hand side, which represents good and life. Okay? The first of the opposites to come into existence was Chokmah. And if you look at the Ten Sefirot, you're looking at an array. The right and the left-hand side are opposites. Okay? Chokmah is wisdom. Binah is understanding. Doesn't sound much like an opposite, but if you look at what they're parts of theme, their archetypal personalities are, Chokmah is Abba, and Binah is, Abba is father, and Binah is Ima, mother, father and mother, two opposites. Chesed, mercy, Gevura, judgment or strength, the opposite of mercy, and so on down the line. It's an array of opposites. In fact, that's all that consciousness is. If you think about it, what are you conscious of? Everything you look at in the world is groups of opposites. There's night and day. The right-hand side is associated with light, goodness, life. The left-hand side is associated with darkness, evil, death. Okay? So these opposites are associated with these sefirot that are emanated. And the first of the opposites to come into existence was not Keter, because the center column is not opposites. The right-hand column is one side, the left-hand side is an opposite, and the center is the side of reconciliation. Okay? So the first of the opposites, the first sefirot to come into existence was Keter, the mitotic duplicate of Ein Sof. However, that's not an opposite. So the first opposite to come into existence was Chokmah, which means wisdom, which we know from our teachings of the last couple of lessons is the Torah Kaduma, the primordial Torah or law. It's also called, Sefirah is also called Reshit, beginning. The Partsuf is Abba, Father. It's the head of the right-hand column. Okay, now, it's a metaphysical law that opposites must exist in pairs. So right automatically implies left. Light automatically implies darkness. Good implies evil. Order implies chaos. Father implies mother. Water. Chesed implies fire. Gevura. Okay? Therefore, Chokmah cannot exist on its own without anything more. Its very nature of being one of a pair of opposites obliged it metaphysically, spiritually. Its own essence required it to emanate into existence its own opposite, which was, as we said just a minute ago, binah, understanding, or using the partsu for it, ima, mother. What does this mean? It means that every sephira contains that which it acquired from its emanator above, its own specialized attributes, and that which it will emanate into the sephira below it. That's what's in every sephirot. What it acquired from the sephira it came from, that emanated it, its own specialization, its own emphasis of functionality, and that which it's about to emanate into and maintain once the emanation occurs, maintain a flow of essential energy and attributes into the sephira below, directly below it. Okay? So this means that each sephira contains its opposite. Binah was contained within Chokmah. Ima, mother, was contained in Abba, father, just as Eve was contained within Adam. Okay? And because Chokmah was the top of the right hand of God and received the first influence, divine Shafa, through the path between Keter and Chokmah, then, and everything else came out of Chokmah, then that's what it means for all was included in the five fingers of the right hand. Okay? And the left-hand side was emanated from the right. Okay? Because the left-hand side started with Binah, and Binah came from the right-hand side. So the left hand was of God was preceded by the right hand. Okay. Now the process by which Torah was emanated is tied up intimately with the 10 holy sephirot, as we've just been discussing. These 10 holy sephirot are the root sources of all the functions of the universe. They're the attributes of God. They are the root functions or the sources of the functions of the universe. The process of Torah is tied up with that, but it's also tied up with the paths of the holy letters, which connect them. Those paths are the means or forces, or we could say, as the Zohar did, the voices by which the functions of the universe are executed. It's through the letters, the pathways of the holy letters, that the functions of the universe are executed and maintained. So those letters, which are voices and lights, are the functions by which the universe and the Torah comes into existence, all starting with Keter, and are actually originating in Keter, but starting with Reshit, Chokmah, beginning wisdom, primordial Torah, Torah Kedumah. All right, now I'm going to summarize this here. I know this is kind of dense, and I hope I haven't lost everybody here, but I think it's very important. And I'll try to put together a writing on this and publish that too, that condenses this down even more and maybe makes this a little easier to understand. But right now I'm going to summarize the process of the emanation of the Godhead. First we had Ein Sof, that's the transcendent, unknowable God. Before any of the ten sephirot existed, there was something that's not pictured in that diagram. It's not pictured because it's totally transcendent, unknowable. That's Ein Sof, meaning literally without end. Ein Sof created Keter, crown, the first Sephira. It is a mitotic duplicate of Ein Sof. But instead of being transcendent, it exists at the top of creation, meaning it's manifest. But it's the most spiritual of all of the ten Sephirot. And it, too, is virtually unattainable to men and women, to human beings. In fact, one Kabbalistic teaching is that we are forbidden to seek to attain Keter, but we are commanded to attain to the other nine. Okay? So out of Ein Sof came the first manifest version of the Godhead, which was a single Sephira called Keter, containing all the attributes and ingredients of the creation to come. Then Keter emanated Chokmah, wisdom, also known as Abba, Father, which is Torah Kaduma, primordial Torah, the blueprint upon which all the rest of creation came into existence. Chokmah had inside of it all of the rest of the eight Sephirot below it. The first thing it does is it emanates Binah, its opposite. Binah, understanding, Ima, mother, Teshuvah, return. So Chokmah is called Reshit, beginning. Ima, mother, is called Teshuvah, return. You can see how these are opposites. Okay? From the union of Chokmah and Binah, father and mother, and now we're going to resort to anthropomorphisms here, but that's all right, came forth Zer Anpin, the sun. Now, literally, that doesn't mean the sun. I don't mean like the sun in the sky. I mean, although that's a symbol associated with Tiferet. But Zer Anpin literally means the smaller face in comparison to the Sephira Keter, which is a Rik Anpin, the long-suffering one, the larger face. Okay, literally. But we're referring to Zer Anpin here as the sun, meaning as in father and son. Father, mother, son, offspring. Okay? That Partsufim refers to the next six Sephirot: Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. These also represent the 6 days of creation, the six directions of the three-dimensional universe. Tiferet, the one in the center, was androgynous, just like Chokmah. Chokmah, before it emanated, Binah was androgynous because it had both the female and the male in it. Its own Abba was in it, and Ima, Abba, father, and Ima, mother, were both in Chokmah. And then Chokmah separated out and emanated Binah, which is Ima, mother, okay? In Tiferet was both male and female. So we call Zer Anpin, the sun, because the overall grouping of those six has a male characteristic. Now, when Adam sinned, he was expelled from the supernal world of total spirituality. Adam and Eve did not have physical bodies. It wasn't until the sin of eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that they took on, that God sewed for them the skins of animals. This is a direct quote out of Genesis. That means he gave them animal skins, human skins. He made them physical bodies and exiled them into the world of forms and names. That's this world, the world of suffering and death. So when that happened, though, God did not want man to be alone and without any communion at all with God or with the spiritual levels of existence. So God in his mercy, which another word for Tiferet is Rachamim, meaning compassion. God in his compassion separated the female part of the son or child from Tiferet. Just like Eve was taken from Adam's side, so too was the female part of Tiferet removed from Tiferet. And he sent that down as his divine indwelling presence to be with man in exile. This female is called Ner Zukva, or Nukva, B or V, however you want to say it, meaning smaller female, as opposed to the smaller male Anpin, smaller face. Okay, this is Sephira Malkut kingdom. It's also the Shekinah. Shekinah literally means dwelling, as in God's dwelling place with man in the world. Okay, so that's the process of emanation summarized. Okay, and now real quickly I want to go over the process, I want to summarize the process of the emanation of the Torah. It came about in three stages. First, we were given Torah Kedumah, primordial Torah. That was created in Chokmah, wisdom, Reshit, beginning. Okay, that was the blueprint upon which all creation came about. Okay, then we were given Torah, actually we weren't given Torah Kedumah. That was God's companion, which was God's blueprint, God being the architect of creation. That wasn't given to us. That exists and operates to maintain the world. Okay, we were first given the written Torah and the oral Torah. Okay, the first thing we were given was the Torah. And I'm talking about it in terms of first. I'm talking about first emanation. Okay, the first emanation is Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah. This created in Sephira number 6, Tiferet. Tiferet is also known as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He. This is the God of Israel, to whom we pray, who listens to our prayers. Then we were given Torah Shebal Peh, oral Torah, created in Malkut, the Shekinah, God's divine presence. Notice that the primordial Torah comes from the right-hand side of God, okay? But the written Torah comes from Tiferet, beauty of Israel. Okay, also known as Lev, heart. This is in the center column, the column of reconciliation and unification. All paths in the body of God flow into and comprise the written Torah. They all flow. If you look at the diagram, all of them, except for the one that leads to from Esod to Malkut, okay, all of those lead into Tiferet. So that means the written Torah contains all of the aspects of God's Sefirot and all the pathways. Okay? And all the influences. And it also means, because the written Torah comes from the Holy One, blessed be He, who's also referred to as the Holy Bridegroom, okay, then it means that the written Torah is male in nature. This is important. The written Torah is male in nature. But also notice that the oral Torah, which we just taught, is coming from Malkut, associated with Shekinah, also comes from the center column of reconciliation and unification. Both of these come from the center column. That means that it's not just the five fingers of the right-hand side or the five fingers or pathways of the left-hand side. It's both of them together, reconciled, coming through Esod into Shekinah, which nurtures us, the world, okay? God's presence, okay? So that means that both the written Torah and the oral Torah come from the column of reconciliation. And with respect to the oral Torah, the Shekinah is feminine, and its other name, its partsuf, its archetypal personality, is Zernukva, which is means the daughter. Okay, it's also known as Kala, the fallen bride. So oral Torah is female in nature, whereas written Torah is male in nature. Now, I've run way past how long I should have gone on. This was complicated. I apologize for keeping you longer than normal, but I don't know really how to break this down without losing the gist of it. And it was important that I cover this, so I hope that you have that you bared with me and are taking this in. But that will conclude today's teaching, and we will move on in our next Monday's class to teaching on how we're going to study Torah, how the proper method of study is based upon the makeup of Torah. All right, that's all for today, so I'll say goodbye, and I ask you to remember God, at least twice today. Remember that He suffers. Pray for the comforting of God's Shekinah in this world. And for the Holy One, blessed be He. For as you have seen, there's no path connecting them. They are cut off from each other. And they mourn each other's absence. And they were once unified. And they have both been separated. And they yearn to be reunited. And so pray for their reunification. And you too may count yourself among the righteous ones in the world to come. So, having said that, I wish you to go from strength to strength. Sei gesund.